It's time for the podium. Now, traditionally, the podium has been the three ACC teams in the Triangle, four ACC teams in the state of North Carolina. And we rank them based on their previous week, whether it's football, basketball, we mix it up. We're moving on to the Canes postseason run, so we thought it'd be fun to shake up the podium and put Canes players on them. It's still a weekly award, so it's on the from, you know, next week it'll be from Monday to the next Sunday. So we're looking at the previous week of action.
By the way, Wake Forest is off the podium.
Wake Forest still off the podium.
Wake Forest is still
off the podium. They'll just hang. They built real estate there.
Yeah, so. You got to pay taxes if you want to be off the podium.
So they are off the podium. So what we're going to do here, because it would be foolish to list, you know, we're putting three players on the podium. It would be foolish to list all of them off the podium. We have a bronze, we have a silver, and we have a gold. It's similar to the Stars, but it's for the previous week, and we're naming Canes players that earn these from the from a week. So it'll go through the entire postseason in this format every Monday. We'll start off with bronze. Bronze goes to Pyotr Kochetkov.
Yeah.
Two games in goal, two wins, a 95-plus save percentage game, a few poke checks, a few of the things that make us love Kochetkov the way we do.
Yeah.
Pretty unreal that we're giving a bronze medal pretty much the week before the postseason starts to a guy who we don't expect to be on the ice for game one of the postseason.
No. 2-0, like you said, a 9.23 save percentage between the two games. Starts between Boston and Chicago. Goals against of 1.51.
Let's let people in. We were close to naming a few different people the bronze.
There are a lot of guys to choose from.
And I want to actually quote Paul Eihander, who we brought in to help us debate through the bronze. He said Kochetkov, and the reason he gave was he played within himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which is that the poke checking thing, right? It is becoming kind of a signature move, but it's also that right there is so hard to do in his situation. Because I keep coming back to this. Guess what Kochetkov wants and in just about any other situation would get? To be the goalie in game one of the postseason. He's been goalie number one for the Canes for most of the season. Right? Freddie was gone with the blood clotting issue. There was no guarantee he was going to be back. Or if he was going to be the same player when he was back, let alone this really, really good version of himself that he's been since he's been back. Kochetkov, like, playing within himself is a Herculean task. Because how do you not try to do more? How do you not try to be overly excellent and press when you feel like you're chasing Freddie for goalie one? The fact that he is staying within himself, and that's what someone noticed, is wildly impressive of a between the ears feat for Pyotr Kochetkov, which goalie is one of those positions. You know, we talked about the Masters earlier today and kind of, Scottie Scheffler saying he doesn't think about the past or the future. He just tries to stay in the present. Goalie is 100% that. It's as, you know, goalie, pitcher, like it's as individual of a sport as can live within a team sport. And he obviously has his head screwed on the right way to be playing really good hockey and goal.
He's been by the way, he started – yesterday was his 40th start of the season.
Pretty darn good. And he missed with the concussion there for – oh, wait, am I getting my goalies confused?
Yeah, well, that was – no, he had that. Okay. But it was, he was
there's
around –
there's so many of them that have played. Yeah. I get them confused.
He was around the All-Star break, so it didn't really True. Impact the amount of games True. He played as much as if they were at this point of the season.
Yeah, or the last month where they played a game every other day, it seems.
Yeah, 15 games in like 28 days or whatever it was.
So Pyotr Kochetkov earns a bronze. Do you want to hear a truth?
Sure.
I hope this is – and this is not a knock on Kochetkov. I hope this is the last time he's on the podium. Right? Because I hope Freddie's playing most of the games, and I hope he's playing well enough that Kochetkov just doesn't have the opportunity to be in this role again.
By the way, 23 wins this season for Kochetkov.
Good for him.
23-13-4. His save percentage on the season, 9.11. Four shutouts.
And again,
goals against a 2-3-3.
And again, talking about like his mental stay readiness, he began the year in the AHL.
Yeah, he was the third goalie for this team.
He was on the Syracuse Crunch for like 45 minutes before they, you know, injuries and everything brought him up. But that, like, that's, he came up ready to play in the NHL.
Yeah.
He started a little slow, but once it clicked, he's been really, really good.
Played in 42.
That's not easy.
Played in 42 total games this year.
That is not easy. That's why he gets the bronze for the past week. The silver. Svech.
Yeah.
Andrei Svechnikov.
It's been so good.
Talk about something clicking. He was not the best for a stretch there. And do you know, you have all the stats and everything that, that we'll let Dennis run through. There's one stat that is by far my favorite stat of this week for, and there were three games. By far my favorite stat for Svech over the last three games. He's, and again, Dennis will give you all the meat and potatoes. My favorite, no penalties. He is harnessing that anger. He is channeling that aggression, and he's using it towards point production and setting up his teammates and clean hits. I love Svech when he can get frustrated and channel it rather than getting frustrated and having a hook in the offensive zone. Like he is very, very good. Give us the stats.
So in the last three games, one goal, four assists, one of those assists being on the power play, four hits total, averaging just under 16 minutes a game of ice time. But like you said, zero penalty minutes. But also here's something as well, plus four. So he's been responsible on the defensive side of the ice as well, plus four.
He is, well, first of all, he should be one of the very select few best players on the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah.
From a talent perspective, going back to the, I mean, being drafted so highly, the money he's getting, he should be one of the straws that stir the drink for the Carolina Hurricanes. And when he gets twisted up in the frustration thing and he's getting in, put in the box and he's in his own little brain pretzel, he's not that. Something clicked a handful of games ago, five, six games ago, whatever it is.
It's really been the last four games.
Last four games ago. And I mean, I don't care if it was 10 minutes before the postseason. Him clicking in the right direction before the postseason is massive.
And the one goal he did score this past week was when he pulled the lacrosse goal against Boston.
The Svechnikov. And even setting up teammates the way he has.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You know, you
two
brought
this yesterday.
You brought it up with like, oh, or I think it was you. I've had a lot
probably
of hockey. I have a lot of hockey conversations around the office. Talking about unlocking some Martinook and Staal. Right? Like sometimes his playing ability and him doing things the right way opens up other guys to get out of slumps. That's what your best player is there for, right? Or one of your best players is there for. It's not just there to get his production. It's there to raise the level of those he's on the ice with, and he's doing that better over the last three games, which is how he ends up the silver medalist.
Staal the last three games, goal and assist, plus four rating. He had five shots on goal yesterday, did Jordan Staal, including a game-tying goal. But he and Jordan Martinook are starting to cook a little bit, because you look at the last four games for Jordan Martinook, a goal, three assists, points in four straight, plus four rating. Like, that whole line is starting to cook. And guess what? That means all the offense doesn't fall on Aho, Gensel, and Jarvis.
Although, let's get to gold.
Speaking of.
Seth Jarvis.
Yeah. Dude's so good.
He's leveling up. He's evolving in front of our very eyes. Don't take that for granted. Give the stats, I guess, would be a good place to start before we get all wishy-washy and get tears in our eyes talking about our young Jarvis growing up.
Last three games for Seth Jarvis. Four goals, two on the power play, one shorthanded. Also an assist, five hits, averaging 17 minutes and 43 seconds of ice time, but a minute and 49 of that ice time per game is coming shorthanded as well. So he's scoring on the power play, which he did twice yesterday. He had a shorthanded goal against Boston. And he had the game-winning goal as well yesterday against Chicago.
There's a stat we used to have when I was playing college football called loafs, right?
Yes.
And you would watch film, and your coach would It was for quarterbacks, it was easy, right? Because normally a coach would say, we got a loaf on this play. Let's see if you can find it. An offensive line, you'd have to go find whichever player. Once the quarterback's coach says we have a loaf on this play, it's like, I have an idea of who it is, the one of us that's on the field. But it was always, not hustling to the end, not giving up a weak side something, not playing to the whistle. It was always something like that. And loafs were a sign in front of the whole team. Every once in a while, we would have a reverse loaf, which would be like a defensive tackle turning and hoofing it and making a tackle 30 yards downfield, despite the fact that they weigh 330 pounds, right? Just an absurd hustle play would be called a reverse loaf because we ran for loafs. Like if, five loafs would be five sprints after a Tuesday practice or whatever. A reverse loaf would take five down to four. So you're always very excited when you had a reverse loaf. Jarvis has like two reverse loafs a game where he just goes above and beyond from a hustle and effort standpoint, what you would expect from someone in whatever positions he's in, right? It's like, I don't know if he should get to that rebound. It's not a loaf if he doesn't get to that rebound. But what does he do? Hustles his tail off, gets there anyway, keeps it alive. Sometimes it leads to nothing, right? Sometimes he just, gets a stick on a puck. There you go. Sometimes, though, keeps the play alive for someone else to score. Sometimes it gets his own goal. Doesn't matter if they're shorthanded, power, like whatever it is. That type of thing rubs off. And there is a point in your career. He's 22 years old. Where you recognize, like, I can be a leader even though I'm, in some cases 15 years younger than these guys, right? I can set the tone. I was just listening to Robert Kraft, the head coach of the Patriots, be interviewed, and he was talking about
the owner?
Robert Kraft. Okay. He might have head coach.
Yeah, he might be.
No, the head coach line is from what I'm about to tell you. He was talking about Mayo, their new head coach.
Draw Mayo.
And he said, I knew he was somebody I would consider as a future head coach when he was 23 and was voted a captain. And there were veterans, and he ended up being a captain for the next 7 years. Captains are different in each sport, right? Jarvis isn't going to be that in hockey yet. And there's more of them in the NFL, and the voting's different. So I'm not saying it's the same. Like, he's not saying he's going to be a captain. But I am saying, 22, 23 years old, if you're out there hustling more than the other guys, you can set a tone. You can be a leader, even though you're not the oldest, you haven't been through it, you're not the most experienced. I think Jarvis is learning that. He's like, wait a second, I put in crazy effort. The whole team gets energized. Look at that. This is kind of fun. Then that first line with Gensel and Aho, they feed off of it and feed it back to him, and then he gets their energy, and by the end of the day, they've accounted for a whole bunch of goals.
He makes so many of those hustle plays that just don't even show up in stat sheets. Like, for example, there's been many times this season where the other team has like a 3-on-2 and they're bringing the puck up the ice, and Jarvis comes sprinting back,
exactly,
ties up the open guy, and the pass is intended for him. He lifts up his stick, ties the guy up. No scoring chance, not even a shot on goal. There's nowhere on the stat sheet you can put that.
Reverse loafs.
It's those kinds of plays, the plays that don't show up in a stat sheet that win you games, and he does that so, so well.
That's why he's got the gold.
That's why he has the gold. There's so many guys we could have gone with on this podium.
Well, I was going to say, Slavin, Gensel, Freddie, none of those guys up there. All debated, none of them up there. You could probably pencil Aho into, like, the conversation for the podium every week.
Basically.
But I also look at Jarvis, Svech, and Kochetkov, and I don't see anyone. There is a bottleneck happening at center. Three guys for two spots in the Canes lineup. And it might not be solved when the postseason starts. The three names, and Dennis pointed this out to me today, Kotkaniemi, Drury, Kuznetsov. I didn't read them in any order for any particular reason, so don't think that's how I think they're going to shake out. But obviously there's Aho and Stahl, so let's not get crazy. There's two more centers, right? There's the kind of second line and fourth line. Kuzi was centering the fourth line kind of over the weekend at times. extended periods of time. He had been centering that second line, so he had been back with Nason and Faust. There's Drury playing up with the second line. He had been penciled into the fourth line. It might actually, if you really look at it, big picture stuff, with Drury kind of getting, I don't want to call it the promotion, but you would think the guy skating with the second line is the most safe. It might come down to one of your two big acquisitions at the trade deadline, Evgeny Kuznetsov, and a $4.8 million player in Kotkaniemi for the fourth line center. That's an interesting battle, right? Because Kotkaniemi has left a lot to be desired this year on the ice, but Kuznetsov has cooled down considerably. And even though I believe, right, if he has more time and he gets to completely mesh with the roster, he'll be able to figure it out. I mean, there's no more time to figure it out. The postseason starts in like 5 days, right? There's no more time to keep figuring it out and unless you think he's going to click real quickly. This is one of the unforeseen consequences, or maybe foreseen consequences, that they weighed the risk of, but one of the consequences of bringing in Kuznetsov at the deadline. You now have three guys for two spots. And I'll tell you what you really don't want. You don't want players in the postseason out there playing tight because they think one mistake costs them their roster spot. Right? These are some of the most competitive people on the planet. They're NHL hockey players. They want to be on the ice in the big games. They don't want to be in the booth up with us. They don't want that. They want to be helping to influence their team wins on the ice. They don't. You don't want them out there thinking like, if I try to make this pass and it gets intercepted, it's over. They're gonna give my job to Kotkaniemi. You want them to have a little bit of coach believes in me, so I'm gonna try to make the right play. And if it doesn't work out, coach will understand. It's why it's the gross underbelly is. I talk about this with quarterbacks all the time. I'm a former quarterback. I never want a quarterback to think an interception gets them benched. There are times where an interception will get them benched, and the coach should know if this guy throws another interception, he's getting benched. But I would lie and tell the quarterback that's not the case right up until I'm saying you're getting benched. That's why I can never be a coach. I couldn't make that lie. But I'd say, no, you're good. Long leash. It's your job. No, just let it fly, because that's what it takes to be a successful athlete. You have to be in that flow state. You have to be in reaction, instinctual mode. Then they throw a pick, and I go, actually, never mind. I lied. We're going to the backup.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of want to make sure whichever two guys are in there at center for the first game of the postseason out of those three, believe it's their job for the postseason. Even if Rod knows, well, you know, we'll start with Kuzi, but if he doesn't figure it out, we can always go back to Kotkaniemi. I'm looking at Kuzi going, you're ice, buddy. You're line. Lead the way.
Yeah.
Which is a tough situation to manage.
I think it's really just coming down for Rob Brindamore figuring out who fits well with whom. I think that's really it. It's like, what's the best fit that gives the team the best chance to win? Because we've seen Kotkaniemi play pretty much this entire season. Drury, outside of the stretch where he was hurt, playing this entire season. Kuznetsov, when he came in, had a little bit of a hot start, but he's cooled off since then. And I think, again, it's figuring out, all right, who's going to give us the best chance to win? To me, Jack Drury is in.
Yep, I agree.
Because he can play on the power play, and he can kill penalties as well, so his versatility allows you to have that option. It might be the other spot. It might come down to Kuznetsov and Kotkaniemi, in all honesty.
You know what question I'm asking next, right?
What's that?
You're Rod Brindamore. Which one are you starting to – first of all, is Drury centering the second line?
Based off what we saw the last two games, yes.
Okay, so for that fourth line, who is it? Your choice.
I think right now you start with Kuznetsov.
I agree.
Because what he can do offensively in terms of his ability to create offense, his passing ability, it's a different dynamic that a lot of the Carolina Hurricane centers don't necessarily have. And he can play on one of your power play units as well. And he's also had success in the postseason before. And I think that's a big thing as well. He's been there and he's done it. But if it's not working, and if it becomes a liability, you can always go back to Kokkinen-Mi because you know that he played that fourth line center spot. He did it for a chunk of this season.
How long's the leash? Is it like literally one game?
I don't know if it's one game. It might be two, might be three. Also depends. I mean, if it's glaringly bad, you're like, okay. But I think it might be.
I think we should. Yeah, we should clarify. If he's out there, like, you know, he doesn't know which end of the ice they're scoring on. Like, if it's a true bleep show, then yeah, you make some faster decisions, and everybody understands that. You know, a bunch of turnovers on your own end that lead to goals. No one's going to be like, well, you got to give him a chance to figure it out. But you know, if you're winning. Right, you're gonna have home ice in the first round. If you're winning and you are feeling things out and there's flashes, I think you let it ride. I do not think it's smart to play the every other game deal. Like, oh, this guy, no, he's in. No, he didn't play well. Now you're in. No, he didn't play well. Now you're in. I think you want to have a little bit of stability there at the top of your deal. I think.